Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to have a conversation with Moses, not the Moses, another Moses who is on Facebook, who someone asked me to join his group. He's kind of a constitutionalist individual and wants to restore the Constitution. At least that's the way he's approaching the situation. It talks about 1,000 candidates. He wants to have all these candidates out there running for office. When I'm saying this right now, I kind of remember the Bull Moose Party. That was a party that was started by Theodore Roosevelt. And Theodore had been president, and he wasn't getting the party nomination for one reason or another. And so they started the Bull Moose Party, and he was going to run on that. And he ended up splitting what might have been considered the conservative vote of the day. And somebody else got in who wouldn't have got elected had it not been for the Bull Moose Party. So divide and conquer. They were just, one extra party then. We've seen that have an effect. And he wants to have 1,000 candidates, which would be splitting the vote all over the place. And the fellow who got in when the Bull Moose Party was in operation trying to get Theodore Roosevelt elected again got Woodrow Wilson elected, who helped start the United Nations, World War I. And, of course, one of his great achievements was the Federal Reserve System, which, of course, Moshe does not appreciate the Federal Reserve System. He's very much against it. And I can't blame him for that, although his motivation doesn't seem to be perfectly clear. He wants all that would be required is that each candidate place at the top of their main page for their website or blog that they stand in unison with 1,000 candidates to restore the Constitution law in 2016, followed by 5 simple points. And he talks about restoring the nation to constitutional law and limits, meaning the restoration of the amendment process. He talks about restoring true constitutional freedoms as provided for in the Constitution as the common law legal system. Well, of course, none of this can be restored by legislation, and I explained to him why, but also part of the reason it can't be restored is because it's not really gone. It's still there. Your constitutional protections in many cases are still there. Now, I will admit that there are individual agencies who usurp this from time to time, but most of what people are complaining about and whining about is actually directly in accordance with the Constitution. There is abuses. Every time you concentrate power, there's going to be abuses, which is why the mere idea of the Constitution of the United States was so vehemently opposed by men you would call our forefathers. There's a long list of people who were against the ratification of the Constitution, fought against Patrick Henry, who said this document was written as if good men would take office. When bad men take office, they will steal your rights through ambuscade, which means kind of ambush through subtle little clever means. And of course, they did that. He talks about to restore the Constitution's sovereign capacity of our nation to produce real commodity-based money and set its value by repealing the National Bank Act in 1933 and placing the Federal Reserve under the direct control of Congress. Okay, how do you produce real commodity-based money and set its value in a free nation? If you're a government of the people, for the people, and by the people set the value every time they buy something. I'll sell you 2 of these for 3 of those. That's what commodity money is. Commodity money is money that is actually based on a commodity, something that has some sort of value in society, other than, like toilet paper has a value in society. It's not a denominational thing, how many rolls, how many sheets, but it is a commodity. Gold and silver is a commodity. Copper is a commodity. So these things are commodity, and he's saying produce some sort of commodity-based money, which would mean like silver certificates would be a commodity-based money. Now, you can go on our website at preparingyou.com, and you'll find commodity references to real money and commodity-based money, etc., etc. But if your government has the power to tell you what money is worth, you're in trouble. And this is one of the big mistakes that people make. And I won't go into it in detail because this is not really what the conversation is about. But where the monetary system in America really went wrong, of course, you know, Federal Reserve was certainly a wrong turn. It was about face, but not an about face from where you had been going. But once the government can say that 20 ounces of silver are worth 1 ounce of gold, if your government has the power to say that, you're not going to be free for long, because it's not commodity-based money anymore. Even though it's still gold and silver, it's not commodity-based money, because someone is dictating to you by stamping on the coin itself the value of silver and gold. And of course, now when they first started making like half dimes and things like that, there was a huge problem with these dimes and stuff flowing out of the country to somewhere else, because you're stamping a value on that. And the money exchangers or changers are going to take advantage of that, and you're going to see good money disappearing and bad money taking its place. Bad money always drives out good money out of the marketplace. Now, in a truly awake and free and fair society, that's not going to happen, but that's not always what you start with, that it's not always what you end up with, and there's a reason why you end up with a society that is very confused about what is valuable and what is not, and what is money and what is not. I always was amazed that if you go back to 1850s, 1860s, if they said cash, they were talking coin. They weren't talking notes. No note, the bank note or any other kind of note, was called cash. That was called notes, because notes are not cash. Notes are what you give when you don't have cash. But now they actually want cash, and they call notes cash. And that's because we changed the definition of words, and don't get me started there. We'll end up there eventually. But anyway, so he's talking about restoring the Constitution's sovereign capacity of our nation to produce real commodity-based money. Well, you've always had that ability. The sovereign capacity of the nation was not resting in the Constitution. I can show you court case after court case. We mentioned it in contracts, covenant, and Constitution, that the sovereignty of America, because America was a republic, and their leaders, their representatives, were titular, the sovereignty of America rested in the hands of every individual. And any individual can make money. You can get a block of silver, and you can melt it down in your garage, and you start pouring coin. You just don't stamp a value on it. Stamp a weight on it. Just weights and measures. You don't be coining that. Just a value on it. Because you can't utter other money. You don't want to say this is a dollar. You know, that's where Nuthouse was getting into trouble, one of the places. I warned the guy years ago that you can't do that. You know, that can get you into trouble. And he was stamping something the size of a dime and saying it was a dollar. Well, they can't do that. And then he was creating currency and saying he was backing it. Now, they're not going to tell you exactly what the problem was. They're going to mislead you. And I've seen federal officers talking about this to the press, and actually said that the government is the only one who can make money. And so that's always been the case. Well, that's never been the case. Banks used to make notes all the time. They're called bank notes. There's whole collectors who have bank notes. This bank, that bank would make a note. Every time you write a check, you make a note. And that check can be used as money. You know, somebody can write you a check and leave it blank and hand it to you, and you can go and fill it in where you want, where you can get somebody to take it. You just used it as money. Post office makes money, called money orders. And so they make money. All kinds of people make money. But Nuthouse made some serious mistakes, and they didn't like competition. And you shouldn't compete against evil. You shouldn't resist evil, and we'll talk about that too. What that means. Resist not evil. What are they talking about? Shouldn't you resist evil? Well, it depends on what you mean. The context of the statement, you have to look that up. And we're going to get into a lot of that. Okay, he goes on. Number four is to restore true property right to all Americans so that land and property cannot be taken under any circumstances unless due compensation for its fair market value is provided. Well, how'd you buy your property? Did you give fair market value for the property you bought? I paid $200,000 for this property. Did you? You tendered something in payment of debt. You offered, that's what tender means, you offered something in payment of debt. But did you actually pay the debt? Stanek versus White, cannot pay a debt with a note. So you didn't pay for your property. You didn't buy a lawful title, you only bought a legal title. Legal title doesn't include the beneficial interest. But now you want to create some sort of legislation where the government guarantees that you have the beneficial interest anyway. Even though you didn't pay for it, you gave notes. You might even bought it on time or credit or what have you. That's not the way it works. You're just going to, I want the government to come out and say that I'm free, whether I'm free or not. Well, you don't deserve to be free. You're not free, and you're not going to be free unless you understand what we're going to be talking about. And most of you are not going to understand. But that's okay. Well, it's not okay for you. It's okay by me. I want you to understand. I'm working really hard to try to get you to understand. But you're going to have to understand this. A lot of what you think is true just ain't so. Like Mark Twain says, it's not so much what you don't know, but it's what you're absolutely sure of that just ain't so. The Constitution is not your salvation. It's not what made America great. It was opposed by the majority of people in America at the time that it was implemented into law. And they opposed it because they knew there were some serious, serious problems with it. Now it's there. It hasn't gone away. You have to understand what it was doing. It wasn't granting you rights. It wasn't even guaranteeing your rights. It was guaranteeing the responsibility of government not to impair your ability to make a contract. And they didn't. And you did. And now you don't like it. Well, you should have read this fine print. So anyway, number five, to in no uncertain terms reverse all the established unconstitutional regulatory, to in no uncertain terms reverse all the established unconstitutional regulatory powers our government has granted itself since 1933, and to call for a constitutional convention to reorganize our nation and its government into proper functioning republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. The exact wording to be used can and should be discussed by those who stand forward to run for his 1,000 candidates. But the reality is, that isn't going to pass anyway. Nobody's going to elect people like that. I mean, some of it sounds pretty good, you know, of the people and by the people and for the people. But when we get into this, you're going to get a different look at what this guy is really thinking and how he thinks. And unfortunately, some of you think the same way. But we're going to explore this in the hope that you figure out where you're thinking isn't good thinking, and you change your mind. Now, that's going to take some humility. You're going to have to look at things considerably different before we're done. First, Constitution is not your salvation. Constitution didn't make America great. What made America great is individual people getting up every morning and going to work and taking care of their families and taking care of their neighbors and caring about one another and showing up when somebody got murdered or injured or robbed. And the hue and cry of people who cared about their neighbor as much as they cared about themselves and their neighbor's kid. That's what's important. And that's where you got to go, too. That's where we used to be, and that used to make us great as a nation. But we're not there anymore. And we're not there anymore because somebody got a lot of goofy ideas in their head. And one of them is the Constitution made us great. The Constitution was opposed by the people who were making us great. Most of the people would have voted it down had it been put to a vote. It wasn't put to a vote because we the people didn't mean the people of America. It meant the people who signed it at the bottom. and anybody else who signed on it, like the states. But until you signed on it, you weren't we the people. Now, you may be counted as we the people, but you didn't just sign on to the Constitution. You signed on to a lot of other things. Now, I think it was a pretty remarkable document. Let's get that up front. It was missing four major points that that God told us to put in a Constitution. It had one of those major points. He had five major points that God lists off in the Bible if you ever decide to have a government that can exercise authority one over the other instead of what Moses was creating. Instead of you trying to create your own theocracy where you make men your gods, you should put five things in that Constitution and read it to him every day. Only one of them is in the Constitution of the United States. But then again, the Constitution of the United States wasn't to rule over everybody in America, because everybody in America were not citizens of the United States. They were citizens of the states. Now they're citizens of the United States, citizens of the United States, and merely residents in their local states. And you don't understand what that means, most of you, and some of you who think you do probably still don't. But the point is that your status, your position as once sovereign, if you read Citizen versus Citizen, we talk about how courts ruled that the individual American was sovereign in relationship to his relationship to the government and everybody else. Not so anymore, because you made some serious alterations in your behavior and your activities, and this has changed things. And the interesting thing is the same kinds of changes were taking place in Israel before Christ. People were altering the way in which they related to government. Now, nobody wants to get rid of government. Well, some people probably do. I don't. You absolutely need government. You know, the old tarantula spider story comes to mind, which I told in another show. And I also, I've been reminded, and I'll probably do it maybe in the next show I do, or one of the shows. I won't say which one I'll do it in, but I'll bring up a story I promised to tell the end of, and I didn't do back in the fifth show concerning, Jesus, I'm not sure which show it was. I'll pull up my notes here in a minute, and I'll tell you, and then I'll get to that in one of these shows. But I told this hair-raising story and told you I would tell you the completion of the outcome of it at the end, and one of our editors said, you never told the end of the story. And they were familiar with the end of the story, but I forgot to tell it. So I left a lot of listeners just hanging there. And hopefully we'll get that straightened out so that we will know how that story ended and you won't all be left hanging. But anyway, I'll tell the story again at another time. So we're in this series, though, on the conversations with Moshe, which is a name that he takes, and he has this website up, and so he was talking about restoring our common law property rights, etc., etc. So I actually wrote a page, and based on some of the things I sent to his Facebook, and I sent him links, and one of the links is to go to the article, which is actually a chapter now of the book Covenants of the Gods, and it would be the chapter Law versus Legal, and you will see that you don't own your property anymore, so therefore, why would you have property rights? You have some property rights, but they're heavily regulated by somebody else because somebody else actually owns your property. Legal title does not include the beneficial interest of property, and that's what you have is a legal title. Legal comes from the Latin words lex legis, which means to bind. The title of your property is bound to somebody else. Someone else is considered to be the true owner of the property, and that's not you. So why or how are you going to legislate control over something to you that you don't have a right to control? Somebody else does. You would have to take away the rights from somebody else. You don't own the equitable rights to the property. So therefore, your property is highly regulated. And you have to be aware of that and understand that. And you can't create legislation that would interfere with that. And the Constitution, being still in place, doesn't allow it. Now, we already talked earlier in the show about the fact that you didn't pay for the land you own. You offered notes. And you cannot pay a debt with notes. You can tender the debt, tender something in lieu of payment, and that's what you did. But you didn't actually pay for the property, so why would you have a right to the title to the property? What you're doing is you're, especially with the United States currency, it's different with different countries, but the United States currency is that we call Federal Reserve notes, or they're at least a two-party note. They're actually a three-party note. There's three parties involved: the Federal Reserve, the United States, and the people of the United States, who are collateral for that debt. And of course, we ran out of collateral back in 1929, and they stopped issuing it, and the markets collapsed, and then suddenly they got a bunch more collateral. What'd they get? Well, they got Social Security, 1933. You signed up as collateral for the debt. And so therefore, you have to pay the interest on the debt, and they'll keep loaning you money as long as you pay that interest. But if you run out of that collateral, you'll see another crash again. They don't want you to pay off the debt. Bankers don't want you to pay off the debt. They're in the business of loaning money. They want you in debt. They have no interest in creating a fiscal responsible government that would get you out of debt. And so you can go around and blame the government for the fact that you're trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. But it's really not the government's fault. It's your fault. Because you aren't any more fiscally responsible than any of the other governments of the world. And until you get fiscally responsible, you don't have a right to liberty. Don't expect it. It's not coming. Not coming your way. But anyway, so no state can make anything but gold and silver coin as a tender in payment of debt. No state. The federal government can, but it doesn't actually pay. It's a tender. It's an offer in lieu of payment. They can offer these notes. And that's all they did with creating the Federal Reserve. There's no law that says they cannot create the Federal Reserve. They can create the Federal Reserve. They don't, you know, audit it and watch it as they ought to, but they can create it. They have a lawful right to be lazy, and you can vote them out. But the problem is you're not going to vote anybody in that's going to do any different. And even if you did, say like you got a president voted in who's going to start issuing U.S. notes instead of Federal Reserve notes. He's going to castrate the Federal Reserve, so to speak. Get ready to nationalize some of the major things in government in order to pay off that debt and bring us back to what he calls commodity money, or something tied to commodity money. How long do you think that president would last before somebody shot him? I mean, you're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars. You go to the right people, you can get somebody killed for $500. You can probably get them. You go to the right people, you can probably get somebody killed for $50. So it's not going to happen that way. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to elect somebody who's suddenly going to turn everything around for you, especially when you don't want to turn around yourself. When you're still engaging in non-common law practices, things that would not even be allowed in the common law. But see, your anger clouds your vision, so you don't really see what's going on. We're going to get to the last part, or another important part of that first Section 10, Clause 1 in the Constitution, when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom. And it's going to show you exactly why there's absolutely no reason to start a group to restore the Constitution. That it is not going to get you, I mean, you can certainly do that, it's a free country, but it isn't going to get you any closer to the liberty you think you're missing, because it isn't the government that took your liberties away. And we'll talk about that when we come back.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So I'm talking about Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1 in the Constitution. No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin, which is commodity money, a tender in payment of debt. Now, the commodity money comes into question when you stamp a value on it. Like I said, and you say that 1 ounce of gold is now worth 20 ounces of silver, that's not commodity denominations. The commodity is the fact that it weighs an ounce. When you coin it and say, this is worth this much, see, what you do is you should stamp on your coin, this is an ounce of silver, this is a half an ounce of silver, this is a quarter ounce of silver, this is a tenth ounce of silver, and the same with your gold coins. It's just an ounce. It's just a way to measure. And unless somebody changes the laws of gravity, you can take a scale and you can weigh it this way and weigh it that way. But this is what it is, and the purity of silver and gold can be tested as well. So those are standards of weights and measures. But when you start coining it and saying that this coin is worth this much, now, on an individual day-to-day basis, what that would mean is that if you were selling something, like you wanted to sell a buggy, and you said, well, I'll take 10 silver dollars or 20 silver dollars for the buggy, and you say that's what it's worth, and a guy comes up, I don't have 20 silver dollars, but I have an ounce of gold. Will you take that? Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take an ounce of gold. Or maybe you're asking 22 ounces. You know, it used to be that that's what it was. The exchange rate was 20 ounces of silver for an ounce of gold. Today, the U.S. government is still minting coin of gold and silver. But anyway, now, and it used to be stamped on there, on the gold coin, 20 dollars, meaning a dollar is an ounce of silver. Now they stamp on it $50. So it takes 50 silver coins to equal 1 ounce of gold. Well, they're determining the value. They are. They're exercising a sovereign right, and the people don't have it. They have it because they're saying that I think this is worth this much whether you like it or not. What you would do is, like, if you had to pay taxes, you had to pay a toll. And they said the toll for this ship is 20 silver dollars and or an ounce of gold. Or they could say 50 silver dollars or and an ounce of gold. You know, they could designate that because they're selling. You know, if it's a toll, they're saying you can get across this bridge if you pay this much or through this, you know, canal. I mean, this is the fee for a boat that size. But when you stamp on the coin itself that is the exchange rate, you've taken power away from the people to make that decision. Because now they say, they command, ounce of gold worth 20 ounces of silver, ounce of gold, 50 ounces of silver. If they can do that, you're not free. Your economy's not free. I know a lot of people say, well, we can't go back to the old days. Well, I'm not saying, I'm just telling you how it works. You're going to go back to the old days, whether you like it or not. You're going to go back to bows and arrows pretty soon. Well, I don't know how soon, but soon enough. Your Your entire civilization is on the brink of total disaster economically, geologically, meteorologically, spiritually. I mean, all the handwriting is on the wall. But I don't want to dwell on that, because whether that's coming next year or 10 years or 50 years from now, you can't do anything about that. But what you can do something about is your own soul. And I'm going to be talking about this in several other shows from time to time. I'll make references to it. In some places, I'll go into great detail. But if you go the ways of Christ, you will be completely, from the core, from the nucleus of your being, you will be changed. If you begin to live your life, spend your life, spend your resources in the character of Christ, you will be changed. You will be altered. And it will come about rapidly, just like destruction will come about rapidly. But it may take a long time to get to that point. How does that work? Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to go on with this. On our page on property rights, which you can find at Preparing You, let me give you a little plug for our newsletter. We sent out our newsletter on the Kingdom News list that you can sign up at hisholychurch.org for the Kingdom News list. It's more important that you join the Living Network, which you can go to hisholychurch.org and go to the network section and join the network in your area. You can go to thelivingnetwork.org and you can go there and sign up for the network. Same network, but it's just different places you can sign up. And you can go to preparingyou.com and hit the network link on the left and sign up to the local network in your area, whatever state you're in. Just go and sign up there and meet somebody. Get in contact with one of our contact ministers. Their phone numbers are available there. Their email is available there. And get in contact with them and get them in contact. Make sure they're getting you in contact with other ministers of record. Now, we have some really good personal contact ministers, which we call PCMs. And we have some that are not so good, but we have hope that they will become better. And that's kind of your job, to put their feet to the fire. Make sure that they get you in contact with others and start forming local groups in your own area of people who care as much about their neighbor as they do themselves, who actually want to know who God is and want to serve God. And I'm not going to tell you who God is. I couldn't do it anyway. You know God by meeting God, you know, in your heart and in your mind. You don't know it because I tell you about it. You don't know him because you read about it in the Bible. You don't know him because you have an emotional experience at some altar call. You know him because he's actually daily writing upon your heart and your mind. And you will produce different fruits. And when the fruit is sour and bad, it's time to take a look at yourself. But anyway, you can also sign up for that Kingdom News List or for the Living Network. Both. You can do both. You don't have to do either or. And you will start to get our newsletter, the Kingdom Newsletter. And it went out and it had two basic articles at the front of it. It links back to our Preparing You newsletter, and which is online. You read it online. And the two major stories is Warriors That Farm with Carl and Nancy Folster in Texas. And they're starting a new program. My son's been to their place. I know other people that have been to their place. And they're trying to help people, trying to develop a better understanding of natural farming and how it works to be on a farm. Carl was a Vietnam vet. And they want to kind of cater, kind of move their apprenticeship program over to soldiers coming back from Iraq. There's a great need for that. And they think that they can help them out. They want other people involved as well. And they want to get other farms involved as well so that they expand this idea of networking. Now, we sent that out last night, and I noticed there's already been over 100 people go to the website, and most of them within about a half an hour. So you can do the same thing because we're going to leave the site up there. And basically look for Warriors That Farm or get on the newsletter. Eventually there'll be a different story here, and we'll leave that story up, but it'll slide down the page as we put new stories at the top. And we had even more people go to our other featured story this week, which is Free Justina, which is where we're kind of crying for justice for Justina, which is now getting out in the news. Just in the last week, it's come out in the news. You may hear this program a little bit later. But when it came out in the news, it was discovered that this young girl was literally kidnapped by Children's Services in Massachusetts from their parents at a hospital, and they altered her, what other doctors who that hospital had considered to be good, genius doctors, altered their treatment and started applying another treatment. And the child who had been ice skating the day before, a year later, is in a wheelchair, and serious health issues have come about because of her treatment, because they began to think her physical problems that were actually getting better and more manageable because of the treatment of doctors at a prestigious university hospital. Some doctor got in his head that it wasn't that, it was something else. So he started treating her, and she'd been going downhill since, severely going downhill ever since. And the father wants the custody back. And people think, well, this can't be happening. There must be something wrong, something that's... And, of course, the hospital's not talking. You know, they go back, well, there's confidentiality. But whose confidentiality? The child wants to get out. The child is not that little. I mean, she's a 15, 16-year-old girl. And she wants to be out of the custody of the hospital and back with her parents. She's not even allowed to hardly even see her parents or visit them. Very seldom is she allowed to visit and talk with her parents. She has to smuggle messages out in secret to communicate with her parents. She's been isolated. Everything, her friends, everything, she's isolated away from them. And she's literally in an inquisition of torture. Now, I know that's strong language, but that's what's going on. Anyway, you can read it, Free Justina, at preparingyou.com. And really, we're not writing any new articles. We're connecting you with Glenn Beck is the one who broke the article. Somebody else brought that information to me and broke the news. And he had to do it because it was a gag order on the father. And the thing is, this hits really at home with me because I've seen this over and over again. I deal with so many families across the country where their children are being taken away. They're put under gag orders. They can't even appeal publicly to their neighbor and their community for help and support, because they're not allowed to discuss the case where the state takes away their children. The state's getting paid, the social worker's getting paid, the hospital's getting paid, but the parents are financially devastated and they're not allowed to go to the local community and tell them what's going on so that they can get support from the local community. It's totally a violation of free speech, except for the fact that it's legal. And you don't understand how that's legal. Now, he just said, okay, it's legal, but I'm going to speak up anyway. And they're trying to hold him in contempt. And they legally could put him in jail for contempt. And it's not a violation, necessarily. Because they have powers because you gave them powers. And this is the problem. Children's Services is given way too much power. The government is given way too much power. They have it. And I'm not questioning the fact that they have it. But you gave it to him, and there's a number of things that you did to give it to him. And this is what we explain. And we also have an article up there on our new Moodle course, His Holy Church Educational System. And we're signing up people to start the course. This course, I think, will start the beginning of March, but we'll have others that come along. And they're free. And we'll start showing you some of the things that you can do to move back towards this thing you're supposed to be seeking, this mysterious kingdom of God. And but you don't imagine that somehow going back is like overthrowing the government. You're not going to overthrow the government. And we talked earlier on another show about the golem. How do you kill the golem? How do you give it life? You give it life by swearing an oath, a truth. And that's the emet in the Hebrew. And you kill the golem by taking the eleph out of emet. The Aleph is a letter, and that's the first letter of the word. And if you take that out, now what is the Aleph? The Aleph is that you now have a different relationship with the God of heaven and you. And when you have a correct relationship with the God of heaven, not this imagined one that is taught in most churches, but I'm talking about the real one, then then you will kill the golem by simply removing that relationship. And what does that look like? I mean, you start having taken care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, through the means that Christ used, not through force and violence. When you entered into a hospital and you sign admission, you give them power. When you apply for government benefits, you give them power. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. They have that power. You can't just go make up your own rules. The early Americans, they talked about dissolving the bands which had connected them with another. They had been dissolving those bands for 100 years in America already. They had learned to stand on their own. You've forgotten. You don't know how to walk at liberty. But we teach that. But you have to desire to learn it. And that means you have to go the other way. So anyway, those two articles are zipping away. And a lot of people are going to the website. We've had 2,000 people go to that newsletter. And this is a fairly new thing. I mean, we've been dabbling in this newsletter and trying to develop a format and getting people to bring in articles. And we're starting to get better and better at it. And it's just going to be a web page, and it's always going to be in the same place. But the articles are going to keep changing. When you go there, you see a little article and a picture, and you can click read more. And you can go to the article that is included. And most of those articles are going to be a brief synopsis and then a link to someone else who's got the story, or several links. So you get to hear more than one opinion as to exactly what the story is all about. And it's a way to help keep you informed. But the real thing that you need to do is become a part of the Living Network, so you're not dependent upon another entertaining internet webpage. You know, we don't have a lot of flashing colors. We don't have a lot of ads over on the side. We don't have any ads over on the side. We just have people sharing with people. That's as simple as that. But the real sharing has to get down on the earth, on the ground, with real people, connecting with real people, caring about each other. We really have to do it that way. Find out what that early church was doing and do that. That's where you have to go. So anyway, back to those conversations with Mose. So property rights, the only property rights you have are legal title, and legal titles are highly regulated, and so the government is not usurping anything, and you're not going to legislate back your rights because you didn't lose them by legislation. And the Constitution guarantees your right to contract and can't make any laws impairing the obligation of contract. You get the picture there? No law impairing the obligation of contract. Because you own the property by virtue of contract, you can go read Law versus Legal to get a better picture of that. They're not usurping your rights. You sold them by your activities. And they have every right to regulate you. Now, you can fudge the rules like this father. He's violating the court order to keep silent. He's gonna break the rule, and he could be found in contempt of court. It'll be up to the judge. But if the judge gets too heavy-handed, he has a lot of exposure now in the media, and it will not look good for the judge. It already doesn't look good for the hospital. People are calling the hospital. They're calling the people who have put up money for the hospital, and they're asking, "What's the deal?" And now light is being exposed. And the Roaches, which happens to be the name of the head of the children's services. But anyway, they don't like the light. They're already in trouble. You know, with children dying in their custody and children disappearing. And it's a shambles. But it's this way all across the country, to lesser or greater degrees. But it can get, you know, you can have one state that has a pretty decent children's services and has some really great people in it, and then all of a sudden they get totally corrupt. What is the governing factor here? The eyes of the people, the hue and cry of the people turning out. There should be 1,000 people picketing in front of that hospital saying, "What is the deal?" Just ask them, "What is the deal? This doesn't look good. This looks like you guys are screwing up. And it does. It looks really bad. Now, but we can't talk about it. Yeah, they can. The Father will give them permission to talk about it. What's the deal here? Why are they grabbing doctors who were the doctors and surgeons of this girl and dragging them away so that they cannot see what was their patient? Just because they have a different opinion than the doctor who's controlling the situation here? I tell you, in these institutions of power, there's a lot of corruption. But they never see themselves as corrupt. Just like you don't see yourself as corrupt when you entered into these contracts with the state to obtain benefits at the expense of your neighbor. You didn't understand what you were doing. I think you understood a little bit more than you will admit to, but now that you've done it, you think you have to justify what you've done. And we're going to get into this heavy, since we're not very far into our... But you can go to Conversations with Moshe, and you should be able to read along. We hope to put a lot of little active links in here by the time the audios go up, so you can go look other places and find out what we're really talking about, because they've redefined words. You don't understand history. You don't understand how the law works. You don't understand where your rights come from. And so we have to re-educate you. But we're not going to do it by force. But we're going to make it available. And we're going to work really hard to make it available to you, so you know what's what. But anyway, Moshe writes, this is essentially correct, referring to what I said about property rights, that you don't have property rights because you haven't done what the early Americans did to obtain property rights. You only have legal title rights. So he agreed with my property rights statement, which is not on this page, but it's linked right above where I'm reading, to the property rights page. However, he says, since the federal government mandates that we cannot use anything but their fake money, fiat, not true, you can use all kinds of things. We have no choice as such. Any contract based on this is null and void. No, it's not. What are you talking about? You're just making this up. They're not making you use fiat money. I mean, gold, silver still in circulation. You can use it. But you can't now go to, I will admit, you can't go to somebody who owns a legal title to something and buy a lawful title to it, a true and actual title from him. He doesn't have it to sell. So even if you give him gold and silver coin of the United States, it does not break what he has done. What he has done is a matter of record. It's cognizable in the law. He only has legal title. He can't sell you any more than he has. Now, in the book Covenants of the Gods, we actually tell you the solution. But you're not going to figure it out. I mean, the book, I infer the solution, because I'm not going to sit there and give you a five-step plan, which eventually Moshe wants a five-step plan. Well, we've got a big, long step plan. But you're not going to get your property back that way. It's been hypothecated. You have no means by which to pay the debt. You're in bondage. And that's that. But I'm telling you a mystical way in which you can move in the direction of the coverture of God, where the fire of God can actually remove you from bondage. But if you're doing it to save yourself, you're not going to make it. The sharks will get you before you get there. You have to care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. You have to do that. You have to care as much about your neighbor's child. This is why we have this whole article on Justina. Because Justina is your neighbor's child. And she's being abused. I'm just trying to wake you up to the hue and cry of needs in the world today. Anyway, he says, we have no choice. You have all kinds of choices. You're just not making them because they're inconvenient. So you put your hands over your eyes and I don't see a solution. And he goes on to say, even still other contracts such as the birth certificate is not a contract. Birth certificate is a birth certificate. And he says, and Social Security binds people to the system as it were. This is the problem. Our nation went off of constitutional standards in 1933. No, you went off. And you didn't just start in 1933. You also started in 1864, and I mean, you were doing it right away. Many of you never ever got on it. Only about 30% of Americans were for the American Revolution. Might be a little bit more, but only about 30% were landed Americans. Thousands, tens of thousands joined the British to fight against Americans in the American Revolution. But a small percentage was all it took to stand fast. Unfortunately, you haven't been standing fast since, and you've been slowly slipping away, and in the last century, you've slipped away at a rapid pace. It's kind of like downhill bobsledding. It just gets going faster and faster. Anyway, he said, and started a state never-ending bankruptcy. Well, you've been bankrupt in 1933. They didn't start the bankruptcy. They never-ending debt, which places all our land and possessions as collateral on the loans. Well, it also puts you as collateral on the loans. Because that's what 1933 was really about, is adding you to the collateral. They couldn't do that without you volunteering to be collateral for the loan. And they got you to do that. And they got you to do that like they always do, by offering you benefits, entitlements, at the expense of your neighbor. You had to covet your neighbor's goods because there had to be a crime involved here. But you have to be the criminal. They just made the offer. You're the criminal. You coveted your neighbor's goods, and that was a violation of law. And you like it. And you'll see that he doesn't really want to give up that covetousness and do what you need to do in order to do that. But anyway, the never-ending debt created a National Banking Act of 1933, created by the National Banking Act of 1933, all of which is part of the New Deal of 1933, which is really not a new deal. Same thing was introduced into the Senate by men like Augustus Caesar. And it, later by Tiberius, it was expounded upon. And by Nero, it was pretty much bankrupt. He goes on, where our nation went off of the constitutional law. No, they didn't. They just allowed you to make contracts. And the Constitution keeps them from impairing those contracts. And somehow, whether you think you restore the Constitution, they're just going to guarantee that they're going to enforce those contracts. Pacta servanda sunt. Agreements must be kept. And you've made agreements. And there was lots of gold and silver in circulation when you were doing this. Not as much as you might have wanted. A lot of money went out of circulation. But that was because you were already sitting way back in 1913. And we go back before 1913, go back before 1910. When public schools started to come on the rise. Most people were not educated in public schools before 1900s. And all public education is socialism. So the New Deal wasn't that new. You'd already started long before 1933. You started. Your activities started. And you have to repent of those activities. So anyway, he goes on, which is the point of this group. To stand and to restore constitutional law limits real money and real property rights. Well, that sounds great. How do you figure on doing it? And that's what the discussion will continue, and I will show him how to do it, and we're going to find out that he doesn't really want to do it. Now, hopefully, it'll sink in. I mean, we're going to serve meat up to Moshe. We're going to teach Moshe to be a real meat eater before we're done, and hopefully some of you. But we're going to start off a little bit with broth and work up to it. And you'll see the progression. And you wonder where you are in all this. Until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.